Good evening and a warm welcome to the service this evening, those who are in the building and presumably those who are online as well. It's good for us to come together to worship God. And we've got at least one visitor with us, and so it's good to have visitors with us as well this evening. We're going to begin and we're going to sing to God's praise from Psalm 96. Verses 8 and 9 in Gaelic. Give ye the glory to the Lord, that to his name is due. Come ye into his courts and bring an offering with you. In beauty of his holiness, O do the Lord adore. Likewise, let all the earth throughout tremble his face before. These two verses of Psalm 96 we sing in Gaelic and remain seated to sing. And after that, Farrakhan will lead us in prayer in Gaelic, please.
Je grash for nai fagus ulivyamichte. Dan yinit kon is sheer yach sa hakamer knoas on yidin yeskerse o arshte tenambach. Serifim nuklod o kut kontach edin nahi fachant skalet de vorach stenambach. Aha at mochalet. Ugus ned a hashin yakin ku urduch de heidin yeskerse nach mo kumo. Ég mögni kinn an an ólach an an yiddishlach san an adachas gibi galed hátt ég vannis gynjag stolt a chasaf. Ögis a kinn gibi gyrd ég úhtse nan an gyr hapjó hugis fyr. Krúi ég krioch an a talabin nach fannis nach skihis nach úr an gynjag a hikshir ánsachu. In gyi arst ögis úrslorsan a hausa án. In ti yba masronis ulan oristusse In Gioch Ruish Nahulani, half Echinach, Ugusno Echinach. In Gish and Hokunya, Epi Hugaserpeha, Ugusula Horaman at Closet. Ugusaha, Ukumar Suas of Esh and Anning, Ola Gola. Ugusashina Tina the Neskerse, at the Onsi Hain, Ugus Monkogakin, at the name to lavish the hacking. If Kuchahugus Korn act a spirit now. Als scheik of heden jacht de spirit heen het elkaar bejagingen, kan je televet bijan gunnen aan zijn jaal. En als je koning en gras voor de tasch gaat naar die, gebeurt er heen gaar falen, gaat kachnie gaat er gebeurt kant in heen. Het gebeurt er gaar niet aan het spirit naar de heen. Als scheik of heden jacht de spirit heen het elkaar bejagen, kan je televet bijan gunnen aan zijn jaal. Sashin Yahumaha led their likes, she said their spock, and said their Naravanyah Kane. Sashin Maha led the name to lavish the hacking, yes, Kutyahugus Khan at the spirit. Sashin Yakoni Kibakahan at King Maha led the la had Akhbianish Jehani the Gar Kurstahug, Ekanauma Hasha, Kibimitugus her soul at King Duchtain, in Jishan a Hakomas of Hinichin Mordagus Yantach, Yanaga their son. Agus ha wyd ni chyn môr y un dach y gian y ydyr son as na len as na blion ni chyn y hol siachat na dy hwgw sy'n y mach as yn dorach ydys ymol o'ch as o rosyn dorach ydys y chiach gys gyda hwgw hwgw sy'n y nars as y chlapr as y chria as o rosyn y dolfo gyda hwydw wyd cas ydd carig carig ys e ys y criast agus gyda hwydw or a noach na yr bêl Kayashen, Molog ye, Sashinya got the Molog or Shunning Nishin at Ainya with their sonning. Kavalan at the Homer Sigiana to Vinkidil, Sashinya Gorni or Shunahulitanya. A host as Tivamun a crow. Sat down the hero and sat Julian, but a noigri, a no sugar Sivian la. Hat nor Dachians, hat nor Cholishin, hat nor Skid and Moghurstorn, hat nor Yelanans. Nur gael, doch irgend gerücke immer dahin wohnt. Fiediges Mnachen, balliges Nienen. Sashin Yogurni hier noch gebucht des Spirit heen. Gantarlach, skantarin kublas de Vrolich. Gefechke mit der Röhach, gekennach ins Gefechke mit nichen Glor, variantach die Gienne. An den Nenem, der Lennon, Nove, Ise Christe. Gedadet du sie die Wichke heen, gedadet du die Nienen, nach Tierchen und Talabin. Gefecht mit der Reich und der Mädach, gefecht mit der Glücklichen in der Liane. Stoch an ihm nur nicht, wie er hat der Kuthadisch. Fiediges Mnachen, balliges Nienen in Kienzen, Töcht mit Klonien in Mannemse. Gorni ihr schon trocket, oh, nach dicke du Hirn in Allah. Duski Udach aus Avioch, Nair Misken in Uadelis, Gnannenlich du Orn, On a heart and honor the spirit now of the fein. Skehenshke mit moinke de chen, gewikud loa yosh tein, skeviga deori hein. Uwe sanyat dolambe golen gyrru ter goise bi, et charis na churin yu charn. Havo had doch loa se faas maun, et charis na churin yi eishtach. Ach she ha dori nye horn yach gewil shinye. Ho gecht nach edi bi, kinga diunsi hein. Navigatori is doisipi. Achashinu gorni on grass for kafeshki mit yola chin. Ugus kabutanya chin. Ugus utas glod shenus kui. Foskatanam sausa adi. Is glod monogus urmuti. Shingatamonogoshonavidigian in atanam is idola and yumara. Sashinu gorni temianoke kachni, which is the giana getting eskersa. Ans gach miar gat jöcklisch, gurwike immer lo doin. Schnu gurni gebu schiel ma an röiach gebu se duchur. Gebu ge eduschke chulli uli in toloi. Ögus gebu duser gier dusch de faas, ögus schen hat daum ma fein. Schnu gurni dem janach gat dogloch, isch kech gudu chudu wasser kingen in ike nöb. Schnu gurni dem janach gas, giori. Gebu du heen mangedisch, as an dachis, As a hoopens and a misk, the trade the hooker got the wooglach. Gebetu Toshka, Hanneman Yavasper, Margus, Joshon, igil chakute, nuvis gatover, such new corny on grass for kafeskimit, lie in a chain and to build more than a chain. Could in dock as a gazimony and a tain, you go at a beard in charn. Shinu corny shunohulet and yet in yeskers and a herkofost and axahashin. Ned the yakal shears for the line, the yapan and tennis strip, like sat down here on a hulianber. Feeling a sign against more and a hanging in it. Ektahi yugus and an hospital, such new corny at the sun, give it to love, let us hain. Shin to mach and yonsis, give it to hain. The Kashik slant to gaive, Kofata Sahashene deer to ruin the Gustahal, Ashinga Faka like a tain, Sukorni, Gedena to Hengaive as King at Nirtasen, Nan Urs Muanchens, the good to give you bronze a gundring, as no lehens as Nishakin, Yogan the means and then a plunk in the header cools, the good in the loft and snilant in the Kofaskirches. Go gosh to that dear, as you go, Nick and Carrie to hay and Suska Fankilach. Gach crant the horrors yawn. You was give it to hay at the nerve and it big guy, and course the hood in a garden and sherry. Sit in a guy was king, near be a swing on you, ear in a hunter to lahead. Pianishing as you go, Nidus, as you go, Nid, you to hay and hush of corn and a newly came in a sleigh. Gumma to shin in a blue guy with the tains, giving me to the lorak at the nidish luch, extol to hussif. Is she the amber kefala bun hands, a gammer to show huspersion, a denition whom oars going on to her son, so had gout and yawn, not dochkul hay and collect in a nichin more a host. At Hanach go close, who was anach go soul, who was hahul or close. Had any get ear and then get here done, you met nichinchen. It in cheer gives in a cabal craga. You can see the yakel in him, or not could it to yakel hain or creechen ye. You can get a night him off canes, give it to his dollar hush of corn, as in jack can you have had first glue and nash far cord. Snood hashing you to low a hoodie jid of blee on the lug as tush of blee on nood, skit hashing of hash get a now machine. Gay yoga here on a hanilisak and cog out to jid of blee on echt, not tush of tail. Har nichin chen el khumal falakh vo na khashni gorni ke be kahana ke yugus ke niet biak ni asan namerk a khu hene dan yugus to lord bian ishin ma konde de shel spigar nulu khus kar keshlakh so na gut ke biak ke gani ka hade shen ashet bian ten modes pros na khis ke be to hen tol el hashakh gorni sin khakh ke ha faslu ge nashvar kan Come she in the low worst hands, come she in the other side like stone to hustle. Talk on and as a gather a glant to gnosis. Be green so she knew Lord, but the spirit nor creak in a stay, Merluk. Eshtaks Merluk lovers, Kibugog Lodis, Akatain, the Gusibianach green yarn. Esht the Yernornians, fricker than the she, had man a skin could grass where it nor nulli fiachians nor chach and cut it. As in Gayuri and the Nanamps are scarred ears. Amen.
Well, let's sing again to God's praise. We don't have the hymn in the book, but we've got the words on the screen. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. So we'll stand to sing to God's praise.
Burden of sin, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power.
Power of the Lamb, there is power.
sins are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. Then it's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Then it's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood. Wonderful power in the blood. Then it's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Then it's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Let's turn now to God's Word, to Malachi chapter 1, the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 1. An oracle, or a prophecy. The word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you ask, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, the Lord says? Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated, and I have turned his mountains into a wasteland and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. Edom may say, though we have been crushed, we will rebuild the ruins. But this is what the Lord Almighty says. They may build, but I will demolish. They will be called the wicked land, a people always under the wrath of the Lord. You will see it with your own eyes and say, great is the Lord, even beyond the borders of Israel. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due to me? If I am a master, where is the respect due to me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you, O priests, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? You place defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying the Lord's table is contemptible. When you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Now implore God to be gracious to us with such offerings from your hands. Will he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations from the rising to the setting of the sun. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to my name, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying of the Lord's table, it is defiled, and of its food it is contemptible. And you say, what a burden, and you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, crippled, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Amen, and may God bless that reading of his word to us. We're going to sing again now to God's praise, and we're singing from Mission Praise 990. 990 in Mission Praise. The words there are on the screen. I will offer up my life in spirit and truth, pouring out the oil of love in my worship to you. In surrender I must give my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. We'll sing the whole of this hymn, and we'll perhaps sing it through twice to God's praise. Amen. I think we'll just leave it there. I thought we knew that one better. As we turn back to God's word, let's just pray for a moment. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word to us, and we thank you that your word is timeless, your word is relevant to every place and every age and every person. And we ask that you would open our hearts now, that we would be able to receive all that you have for us. We confess that our eyes are eyes that are easily distracted by all the things of this world, but we pray that we would be able to fix our eyes upon you. We confess that our ears are so easily blocked with the many different cares of this world, but we pray that you would unblock them, that we would hear your voice. And we confess, Lord, that our hearts can be cold, our hearts can be hard. We pray that you would melt our hearts with the oil of your Spirit. So receive us, Lord, we pray, and open us up to your word so that we may have a fresh encounter with the living God. We pray for all of us, Lord, who are here, and we pray for those who are watching online at this time, those who are struggling at this time. We pray for those who are sick. We think of Anthony in particular as he's in hospital, and we ask that you would lay your hands of healing upon him. We think of others, Lord, precious to us, who haven't been in church for quite a long time now, who have been recovering and awaiting different procedures and have been almost housebound over the weeks. And we think of them, and we name them in our own hearts and ask that you would lay your hand of healing upon them. We thank you that we have the technology to be able to connect together and to come to you in worship in this way. But we pray, Lord, that you would add your blessing to all this, because we know that unless you draw near, we do this in vain. So open our hearts, Lord, to you, we pray. We pray for some who are not present, who are not connected through any internet either, and who have no desire to come in worship, who perhaps once did, but who are far from you now. And we ask, Lord, that you would reach them, that you would lay your hand upon them, that you would draw them in. We pray for others who have no knowledge of Jesus, no knowledge of the gospel, who are dead in transgression and sin, who are in that deep sleep that so many souls are in, that once we were in. And we pray for them. We don't look down upon them, because we recognize that only the Holy Spirit can awaken and revive a soul. So we cry out to you in prayer, Lord, for those who are absent. And we ask that you would, in the power of your Spirit, reach them, Lord, we pray. Bring to their mind perhaps things they've heard in the past, in school assemblies, and in a verse that's been shared in distant memories, and bring it to life through the Holy Spirit. We pray for this season especially, as tracts are handed out. We think of the tracts that went out yesterday at the cafe at the community centre, speaking about the real meaning of Christmas, and we ask that you would use them. We think, Lord, of broadcasts and services that will be on the television over the Christmas season, and we pray for every effort that's made to reach out, whether virtually or in real conversations and encounters with people. Enable us to have eyes to see the opportunities that you put before us, and help us, Lord, to have the courage to speak your word. And we ask that you would bless us, and that you would equip us, and that you would use us over this season. So hear our prayers and help us as we open your word now. We pray this in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. It's good to see a few boys and girls this evening. And I want to just start by asking you a question. Are you doing anything to get ready for Christmas? What kind of things might you do to get ready for Christmas? Or what kind of things are you doing to get ready for Christmas? Henry? Have you put up some decorations already? Good stuff. Big ones with lights and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah. In the garden or in the house? In the house. Good stuff. So Christmas decorations in the house and all the lights. Anything else? Hoping some of my family might say we're thinking about buying some presents for dads. Maybe that's just a thought that I can sow over there. Am I right? Henry, you up again, yeah? Put up a Christmas tree. Have you got one of them?
Yeah.
Good stuff. So Christmas trees go up. We saw the... Jono?
Your advent calendars.
What kind of advent calendar have you got?
Dairy milk.
Dairy milk. That's the important thing. We've got advent calendars in our house that have a verse behind each door. And as precious as the verse is, without dairy milk, it's slightly less sweet. So advent calendars, Christmas trees. Anything else? One more thing? No? Okay. So there's lots of things that we do to prepare for Christmas. And the adults are probably making preparation as well. Some will probably go away for Christmas and they'll be arranging travel plans. Some will be waiting for family to come, and they'll be making preparation for that. We might be thinking about our Christmas dinner, checking out to make sure that there's turkeys in stock and all that kind of stuff. There's lots of things that we do to prepare for Christmas. And Malachi is the book that God uses to prepare his people for the first Christmas. That's why we're in this book just now. This is the last thing. This message of Malachi, it's the last thing that God said to his people before the first Christmas, before Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, came into this world. It's a message, it's an oracle, a weighty word. Malachi means message, so this is a message from God. It's a weighty, significant, impactful word from God. And I want to think about this message this evening from chapter 1. And there's 2 points for our time this evening. First of all, we see this is a message about love. And the second thing is, it's a message about lukewarmness. Because God loved his church, he loved his people. And he tells them that. That's the whole beginning of this book, and it runs right through the book. But he also sees that his people have drifted. And there's a lukewarmness that's taken hold of his people, and so he addresses that in love. So first of all, it's a message about love. And we're kind of going over some ground that we were in 2 weeks ago. But I think it's important for us to go over it once more. God, in the first 5 verses of the letter, he says to his people, I love you. He sends this message about his love for them. He says in verse 2, I have loved you. He speaks about his present love. He causes them to look back and remember his past love for them. He's given them the reassurance of an ongoing future covenant love. And that's the message that the letter begins with. It's a message of God's amazing love for his people. But they doubt his love for them. And they respond by saying in verse 2, how have you loved us? And God responds to them in verses 2 into verses 3 saying, remember I chose you. Even though I knew you and the kind of people you were going to be, wayward as you are. He says, yes, I love you. And remember I chose you. And he reassures them in verses 4 to 5 that he was with them. He had been with them and he was still with them. And in their experience, God's people, they could look back over history and they could remember going all the way back to Genesis that he did choose them in spite of who they were. And he had been with them through the ages. He'd remained with them. Even though they were wayward, he was faithful. And when they clashed with enemies, the Lord had given them victory, even though the odds were stacked against them. The Lord had given them, in their experience, so many reasons to say what it says in verse 5, great is the Lord. So this was a message about God's love for his people. God's amazing, gracious, covenant love for his people. And before we move on this evening to the second point, we should just take hold of this again. We should meditate on this. Because if we are trusting in Jesus this evening, we are God's people, just as they were God's people. And he says to us tonight what he said to them back on that day. He says, I love you. I have loved you. I love you. I will love you. He says to us, as he said to them, I chose you. Before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1, he says, I chose you. And he says, I am with you. To the end of the age, to the end of time, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you. And I know this is us going back over old ground, but this is something that we need to hear again and again. Because just as they doubted God's love for them, we doubt God's love for us, because we know ourselves. Not fully, but we know ourselves enough to doubt that God could love us in the states that we often get into. So we need to keep on hearing this from God as we open his word. We need to keep on hearing God saying to us, I love you. You know, just like in a normal friendship or marriage relationship, you don't just say I love you once, but there's a continual reassurance of love. It's not that on your wedding day you pronounce your love and then it's never said again. No, this is an ongoing thing. We need to hear it over and over again. And spiritually speaking, we live in a world that would cause us to doubt the loving nature of God and would cause us to doubt God's love for us. So we need to hear him saying to us tonight, I love you. And we have an enemy that will constantly tell us as he digs up our old sins, you're beyond love because you're so dark and you're so depraved. Satan tempts us to despair. He tells us constantly of the guilt within. And so we need to hear God's word speaking into our hearts, speaking against the destructive message of the enemy, saying, I love you. The last word of God in the Old Testament to his people is that reassurance, I love you. The first word in the New Testament, 300 to 400 years later, is a demonstration of his love for us in sending Jesus into the world. So the first thing we see here is that this is a message about love. I often think about Stan Gowdy. I didn't know Stan Gowdy. I don't know Stan Gowdy. But he founded Road to Recovery. Duncan McSween talks about him often. And Stan Gowdy, he was an alcoholic. He was a drunk, to use his own words. And in his testimony, which Duncan was kind of sharing with us again last Wednesday night, he tells about how Stan was in the most desperate state in his life. He was in the depths of addiction. And he felt in total despair. And not only was he struggling under the weight of addiction, but his wife had become so stressed and so she'd been so affected by this addiction that she was in hospital because of his drinking. And so he was just in the depths. And one night, a messenger of God, one of God's people, a Malachi, came along outside Stan and put his arm on his shoulder and said, Stan, God loves you. You know, in all his brokenness, in all his filth, in all the mess of his life, he hears this message about love. Just that simple, profound, amazing message that God, even in spite of all the mess, he loves him. And on that night, Stan was overwhelmed by the message. And he believed it. And he trusted Christ. And his life was transformed, and the lives of many others through Stan, through Road to Recovery, was also transformed. All through the message of God's love for him. And we all need this message. I don't know, maybe there's someone here tonight or someone who's absent but watching online tonight and who needs to hear this message. God loves you. Maybe we've had a week where we've held it together on the outside, but we're in despair inwardly. And we need to hear God saying to us, I love you. Maybe our hearts are cold. Maybe our hearts are hard. We wonder if God's got any more time for us. And we need to hear him saying through Malachi the message, I love you. We often write ourselves off, but God, in his mercy and his grace, he comes to us with this message about love. And everything in this book of Malachi is undergirded, it's driven forward by the love of God.
It's a message about love. And secondly, there's a message here about lukewarmness. Because those that we love, when we see them wander, we discipline. With our children, if we see them on a destructive course, because we love them, we'll discipline them. And God, as he sees his people drifting off in a direction which is sinful and wrong, he, because he loves them and because he loves us, he disciplines us and he speaks the truth into our lives. And this is secondly here a message about lukewarmness. And we know that lukewarmness is not a compliment. There's never a time that's good to get a lukewarm drink. You know, on a hot day when we're dry and we're thirsty, we want a cold drink. We don't want something that's been sitting out in the sun, a glass of lukewarm water. There's nothing more putrid than that. Or on a cold day like today, if we've been out for a while and we're feeling chilled, there's nothing worse than coming back and being handed a cup of tea that's been sitting on the counter for the last hour and a half. It's never a good time to get a lukewarm drink. And spiritually speaking, there's nothing worse than lukewarm believers. And Jesus, in Revelation chapter 3, remember, he looked into a church in Laodicea. And this was a church that thought they were doing okay. On the outward side, everything looked to be in order. But Jesus, he could see their real state. They couldn't see their real state, but Jesus could. And he says to them, you're lukewarm. You're neither hot nor cold. And I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And God, through the book of Malachi, he's saying the same thing to his people in Old Testament language. He's saying, you're lukewarm. Once you were hot, the temperature's dropped. God loved his people. That's the note this book starts on. But the reality was they'd lost their love for him. And God cared for his people, but unbeknown to them, they were showing contempt for him. And so through this book of Malachi, God, he reveals to them these signs of what it looks like to be lukewarm. He calls them to repent, as he calls us to repent when we see this in our lives. And there's four signs when it comes to a lukewarm heart, a lukewarm life. And the first thing that we can identify in God's people is they'd lost sight of God. They'd lost sight of God. And we know they'd lost sight of God because they had no sense of God's love. We're told in 1 John 4, verse 8, that God is love. That's who he is in his essence. That's who he is in his character. That's who he is in his being. He is love. But God's people, back in this book of Malachi, they can't see the love of God for them. They have no sense of the love of God. They're not moved by the love of God. And we know that that's true, because they have taken their eyes off God. That's who he is, but they can't see it. Their eyes are off God. And everything that was wrong with God's people could be traced back to that, and it can be traced back to that. Think about the very, very beginning, Genesis. We have Adam and Eve, and they're in the garden, and they're in this perfect relationship with each other and with God. And then Satan comes along into the garden. What does he say to Eve? Well, what he says to Eve is, God doesn't love you. Because if God loved you, he'd let you eat the fruit from that tree. God's trying to withhold the best from you. He's trying to stop you from having what's really good. He's keeping that all for himself because he doesn't love you, Eve. And Eve, she took her eyes off God. She fixated on the tree. And she believed the lies of the enemy's message, and she shared it with Adam, and everything that is wrong with the world can be traced back to them losing sight of God and the love of God for them. Two quotes from commentators. Edward Lobb says spiritual decline will begin on the day that we lose sight of God's covenanted, committed, everlasting love for us. And Oswald Chambers says our spiritual strength begins to be drained when we stop lifting our eyes to God. The danger comes when, no longer relying on God, we neglect to focus our eyes on Him. So the first sign of sickness, the first sign of lukewarmness, is that they had lost sight of God. They'd lost sight of God's love for them. So if that's the sickness, what's the cure? And the cure is very straightforward. We're to look to Him again. You know, spiritual health begins, salvation begins, by looking to God. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 22 says, "Look unto me and be ye saved." That's where spiritual health begins. That's where the Christian life begins, by looking to the Lord, Jesus on the cross, and being saved. And spiritual health is maintained as we fix our eyes, as it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. We fix our eyes upon Jesus. So the medicine for weary and troubled and lukewarm souls is we are to fix our eyes upon Jesus. We're to turn our eyes upon Jesus, as we sometimes sing in that hymn, and look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. So the first thing we see in the lukewarm life, the lukewarm heart, is that they've lost sight of God. God's people, they've lost sight of Him. The second thing is, God's people, as He addresses them, they'd lost sight of sin. They'd lost sight of God. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, they'd lost sight of sin. They had no sense of their own sin. If you look at verse 6, God says through this message, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you, O priests, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name?" You know, it seems that when God, through this messenger, challenges His people about the contempt they had for His name, it comes as a great surprise to them, because they thought they were fine. You know, like Laodicea, they as a church thought they were on the right track. They were doing fine. Remember Jesus said to the church in Laodicea, he said to them in Revelation 3:17, "You say, church, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing." It's what they were saying about themselves. "We're rich, we don't need anything. We've made it, but you do not realize," says Jesus, "that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." In Laodicea, they'd lost sight of their sin. In the time of the book of Malachi, God's people, they had lost sight of their sin. And that makes sense. When we take our eyes off God, when the searchlight of His Word is no longer shining into our lives, because His Word is now sitting on our shelves, or we're kind of opening His Word for 2 minutes at the end of the day, we're not actually listening to a thing. When the light of God's Word is no longer shining into our lives, we can't see our sin. You know, the darkness has come in. I remember one morning, this is probably going back 15 plus years before I was in ministry, and I had a meeting in Aberdeen. I was living in Inverness. So I set the alarm for 5:30 in the morning, and got showered and got the suit on and got the smart shoes on, and I headed off out of the house. I thought I looked fine. And I jumped into the car, and it was all dark. And I travelled through to Aberdeen, and as I was travelling, the light was starting to break in. And by the time I arrived in Aberdeen, it was about 8 or 8:30. It was bright. So I remember parking outside the office, opening the door of the car, and the first thing I saw was one shoe was brown and the other shoe was black. And I'm supposed to be leading a meeting. So I spend half an hour running around looking for a shop where I can buy a pair of shoes that actually match. You know, see, when we don't have the light, we can't see clearly. What would be obvious in the plain light of day is not obvious to us when the darkness has come in. And that was the situation that God was addressing through Malachi. God says to his people, you're in sin. You're failing to honor me. You're failing to respect me. You're not showing me any reverence. We can hear that in what they say about worship. Later on in the chapter, we hear them saying of worship, oh, what a burden. How much of a nuisance this is. And they're not articulating that to each other, but that's what's going on in their hearts. And God says to them through this messenger, I can hear your heart. You're not showing me devotion. You're showing me contempt. And yet when they're challenged, they can't or they will not see their sin. And notice that this message has been addressed not to pagans, but to the priests. Not to the most notorious criminals of that land, but this is a message that's directed to the ministers, first of all. To those who should have been able to see. To those who should have been close to God. To those who should have been sensitive to God. But they weren't. Their hearts are far from God. And when God, through Malachi, says, this is the way things are, they say, how can that be true? How have we shown contempt for your name? They're blinded to their own sin and their spiritual sickness. And when God challenges them, they don't accept this diagnosis and repent. They object to this message. They argue with God. They question God. And that's a sign of spiritual sickness. That's a sign of lukewarmness. We either can't see or we won't see our own sin. We can see everybody else's sin fine, but we can't see our own sin. And when we're challenged by God's word, we don't accept God's diagnosis. We argue. You know, we try to justify ourselves. We make excuses. We don't repent. But we push back. We rebel. And that was the problem. They'd lost sight of God. Because they'd lost sight of God and the light of God, God's love wasn't shining into their lives. They can't see their own sin. They'd lost sight of sin. That was the sickness. That was what was causing this lukewarm state to overwhelm their hearts. So if that's the sickness, what's the cure? Well, the cure is found in Psalm 139, where we're given a prayer to pray. And it's simply this. Search me, O God, and know me. Because sometimes we get to the stage where we don't even truly know ourselves. And so, like God's people back then, when we're challenged with a word like this, we get on our knees and we simply say, search me, God. Where's the blessedness I knew when once I knew the Lord? That's how the hymn goes. And sometimes that's a genuine question. We don't know why, we don't know where it's gone. So we pray, search me. And if there's sin there that's not addressed, show me where it is. And when the Lord shows it to us, we repent. And we seek forgiveness. There's two more points under this heading, but I think we'll bank them. And we can look at these on Wednesday. And we'll bring this to an end this evening. We have this message that's brought to us in the book of Malachi. It's a message about love. God's constant, enduring, faithful, covenant love for us. And it's a message about lukewarmness, where he calls his people then and now, if we have drifted far off, to come back to him and to know that close walk with God and that blessing that this God of love wants us to know. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for your constant love of us. We thank you that your love for us is both spoken through all the prophets in the Old Testament. And we thank you that your love for us is seen most clearly as we look to the one that the prophets point us to, Jesus, your Son, our Savior. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to fix our eyes upon Jesus. We pray that you would help us to walk close with Jesus. We pray that each of us would know that cleansing, forgiving touch of Jesus. And if, Lord, we are distant from you at this time, as the priests were back in the day of this letter, we pray that we would see that and that we would confess sin, that we would be constantly repenting, and that we would know the blessing of renewed fellowship with you if it has been broken somewhere along the way. So reassure us, Lord, we pray, of your love, and give us that gift of repentance, that we may not be drifting in sin, but that we may constantly be drawing near to you. And we thank you that Jesus, through that cross, has opened up the way into your presence. So enable us to stay at Calvary and to bring our lives as that sacrifice of worship as we are called to. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll sing to conclude When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Mission Praise 755. When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Because that's ultimately where we need to go. If we've drifted, if we are struggling, we must get back to the cross. We can never leave the cross. This is where we go to be saved, but this is where we go to remain in that state of worship. We must keep our eyes fixed on the cross of Christ.
Glory.
now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.